Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart-Centered Loving. I'm your host, Jim Brown. You're safe and no harm will come to you in this space. As always, my goal every week, is to bring more love, more happiness, more joy, compassion, peace, and abundance into your life. As always, every week, I ask you to listen to the show with the goal of taking one thing out of the show and implementing it into your life. And the reason I do that is because I've spoken about change more than any other topic I've ever spoken on. And what I've learned is we're all creatures of habit. And unless we make a conscious effort, we're going to keep doing it the same way and obviously getting the same results. Which takes us to today's show, which is going to be on the power of choices. And as always, I'll ask you, what was the most important thing you got out of today's program? And what's fascinated me over the years of doing this with live audiences is that I do it to find out what was the most important thing to them and also to hear all the different people what was most important to them. And then lastly, it fascinates me how somebody will say the most important thing they got out of this and it won't be something that I actually said. So they took it, they processed it through their filters and gave it the meaning they gave it. Let's start with a quote by Stephen Covey. But until a person can say deeply and honestly, I am what I am today because of the choices I made yesterday, that person cannot say, I choose otherwise. I'm not sure what this means, but I'm now a featured host on Blog Talk Radio. You see up there in the corner where it says featured? I don't know if I get more chocolate or what. At any rate, if you have a pen or a pencil, you want to write down the show link. I'll give it to you the easy way and then give you the whole thing. It's basically blogtalkradio.com/Jim Brown Speaker. You know about the blogtalkradio.com. All you got to do is hit the front slash Jim Brown Speaker. You got to, the actual whole link is http://www.blogtalkradio.com/Jim Brown Speaker. Whew. And then what you do when that link comes up, you click on follow, which is below the logo, and the logo is the picture of the heart with the saying, when you get to the heart of the matter, it is the heart that matters. Then you'll automatically get a notice of every show. While you're listening to the show, or if you download it, or you go on the demand, and you're listening to it afterward, scroll down the list of all the past shows and just download the ones that sound interesting to you. Right now, I think we're, 41, 42 shows, something like that. And then lastly, I'm going to ask you to share those. If you enjoy the show, share it with your friends so that each of us has the opportunity to make our life a little bit easier because every single one of us always has problems. That's part of life. So we need to be able to help each other. We need to be able to take care of each other and look out for each other and share the things that are helpful to you. If you're interested in my books, the simplest thing to do is to go to my website, which is jimbrownspeaker.com. Try and keep it simple. If you want to call in, that number is up on top of the logo there. It's 646-595-2831. And press 1, which says that you want to talk to me. Otherwise, you can just call in and listen to the show on the telephone. Or you can join me in the chat room. Well, since we're at this holiday season, today's opening story is about a child who was asked to write a book report on the entire Bible. Well, that sounds a little big to me. I don't know. I've never read the whole thing. So this is a child's Bible in a nutshell. In the beginning, which occurred near the start, there was nothing but God, darkness, and some gas. The Bible says, "The Lord thy God is one." But I think he must be a lot older than that. Anyway, God said, "Give me a light." And someone did. Then God made the world. He split the atom and made Eve. Adam and Eve were naked, but they weren't embarrassed because mirrors hadn't been invented yet. Adam and Eve disobeyed God by eating one bad apple, so they were driven from the Garden of Eden. Not sure what they were driven in, though, because they didn't have cars. Well, Adam and Eve had a son, Cain, who hated his brother as long as he was able. Pretty soon, all the early people died off, except for Methuselah, who lived to be like a million or something. One of the most important people was Noah, who was a good guy, but one of his kids was kind of a ham. Noah built a big boat and put his family and some animals on it. He asked some other people to join him, but they said they would have to take a rain check. This kid could do writing for comedy shows, couldn't he? After Noah came Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob was more famous than his brother Esau, because Esau sold Jacob his birthmark in exchange for some pot roast. Jacob had a son named Joseph who wore a really loud sports coat. Another important Bible guy is Moses, whose real name was Charlton Heston. Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt and away from the evil Pharaoh, after God sent 10 plagues on Pharaoh's people. These plagues included frogs, mice, lice, bowels, and no cable. God fed the Israelites, those are two words, every day with manna cotti. Then he gave them his top 10 commandments. These included, don't lie, cheat, smoke, dance, or covet your neighbor's stuff. Oh yeah, I just thought of one more. Humor thy father and thy mother. One of Moses' best helpers was Joshua, who was the first Bible guy to use spies. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the fence fell over on the town. After Joshua came David. He got to be king by killing a giant with a slingshot. He had a son named Solomon who had about 300 wives and 500 porcupines. My teacher says he was wise, but that doesn't sound very wise to me. After Solomon, there were a bunch of major league prophets. One of these was Jonah, who was swallowed by a big whale and then barfed up on the shore. There were some minor league prophets, but I guess we don't have to worry about them. After the Old Testament came the New Testament. Jesus was the star of the New. He was born in Bethlehem in a barn. I wish I had been born in a barn too, because my mom is always saying to me, close the door. Were you born in a barn? It would really be nice to say, as a matter of fact, I was. During his life, Jesus had many arguments with sinners like the Pharisees and the Democrats. Jesus also had 12 opossums. The worst one was Judas Asparagus. Judas was so evil that they named a terrible vegetable after him. Jesus was a great man. He healed many lepers and even preached to some Germans on the Mount. But the Democrats and all those guys put Jesus on trial before Pontius the Pilate. Pilate didn't stick up for Jesus. He just washed his hands instead. Anyways, Jesus died for our sins, then came back to life again. He went up to heaven, but we'll be back at the end of the aluminum. His return is foretold in the book of Revelation. So there we go. Let's get into choices. A couple weeks ago, the program was on thoughts. And obviously, everything begins with our thoughts. And like our thoughts, where we have about 60,000 a day, we are making choices all the time, aren't we? We make thousands of choices every day, but most of them are the same choice we made yesterday, the day before, last month, last year. So some of the choices we continuously make and make over and over and over again, and they may be good choices or may not be good choices. But let's just go through a handful. The food we eat, the way we relate to other people, the way we judge ourselves and criticize ourselves, and also judge and criticize others. We make choices about the things that we get angry over, the things we get frustrated about, the grudge we've held for years, revenge against an ex-spouse or somebody else. We make choices about our beliefs about ourselves. And we make a huge choice about how our life works or it doesn't work. Matter of fact, the chapter I have in the book with Jack Canfield on making life successful is about life according to me. The fact that we choose to continue to hold limiting beliefs, another choice, isn't it? I first heard Michael Beckwith say the phrase, "Argue for your limitations and they are yours." And isn't it amazing how we argue for our limitations? Which takes us to the next one. The limitation is that we choose to believe the story that we've made up about who we are and what we can or cannot do. Let's chuck that story. Let's look for a bigger and a better story. And let's not identify who we are with the story or the clothes we wear from our past. Those are dirty clothes. Let's take them off. Let's put on a new set of clean clothes. Who do you want to be? What do you want your life to be about? And in order to do that, in order to make tomorrow different than yesterday, you're going to have to make different choices. What we're going to do this afternoon is we're going to look at the competing choices, a list of competing choices, and then I'm going to give you a list of 20-some-odd choices that I believe are sure to enhance your life. So remember, no matter what, we can always choose again. Don't believe anybody who ever tells you, that's it, that's the way it is. There is no such thing as, that's the way it is. What is, and in a minute I'm going to get into the first two lessons of the daily lessons from A Course in Miracles, and I'll talk about it more in just another minute or two. Remember, we always have other choices. Every choice we create makes an outcome. And there's only two possible outcomes. The first possible outcome would be what we want, and the second and only other possible outcome is what we don't want. There's no other possibilities. So it's real simple the way we do this, isn't it? If you make a choice and you get the outcome you want, you make a choice of going on a diet and you exercise and you lose weight, hey, that's a choice you made, and that's what you want. Boom. You make a choice, and you don't get the outcome you want, then you've got to make another choice. And we're making those choices all the time. Every other choice we make is going to create another outcome. So if we take a choice, and we don't get the outcome we want, no matter what we choose, we're going to have another outcome. Again, it's going to come back to this. Is this the outcome I want, or is this the outcome I don't want? We're going to continue to make these different choices until we get the desired outcome. The key here is to make all of our choices consciously. We don't want to be making our choices unconsciously. And that is the whole key in talking about the power of choice. To switch from unconscious choosing to conscious choosing. Now, will this happen all the time, every day? Absolutely not. We're going to slip back into unconscious choosing. That's who we are as human beings, and that's the way it goes. So We accept that, but we accept also we're on a journey. We're on a path. We're here to learn. We're here to grow. And one of the best ways we can grow is to become aware of the choices we're making and the impact it's having on us, on the energy we feel within us. And we all know that when we make choices that upset us, that take us away from our inner peace, we can feel that, can't we? And we got to say, hey, I don't want that choice. I want to stop it. Now, does it matter how long it takes you to recognize that? Uh-uh. What matters is that you recognize it. It used to take you a week, and now it takes you a day. Wow, that's awesome. Or get it down to an hour, get it down to 10 minutes, or sometimes you even get to the point where you go, ah, I'm making a lousy choice here in what I'm saying, the way I'm reacting to this situation. Let me change that. No matter what's going on in your life, you created it. And the way you created it was by the choices you made in the past. And simply stated, if you don't buy into this, that's fine. But recognize that the choice you're making here is you're choosing to become a victim. And as we've said before, when you choose to become a victim, you give up your power. And what I'm all about here is giving you back your power. Okay? Take your power back. Your power is sacred. Your power belongs to you. Don't become a victim of anybody else ever in your life. Take back your power. Choose to see your power as something sacred, something that you're going to use for your highest good and for the highest good of everybody who you come in contact with throughout your life. This is true power. This is what enables us to create the world that we want to be in. Now forget about the concept of the world. We're really talking about your world. And your world are the people that you interact with on a daily basis. You get to create the way everything goes. If everybody else is an unconscious creator and you're a conscious creator, they're going to have to shift because of you. Because this is an equation. You change the way you interact with them, they're going to have to change the way they respond to you. Give it time. Play with it. Reclaim your power by believing that you create your life. And again, we create our life by the choices we make. So you sit here and you say, well, wait a minute, Jim. You know, my life's in a dumper. Don't criticize yourself. Just say, oh, okay. I was an unconscious creator. Now, I want to become a conscious creator. And I want to make better and more aware choices. So let's start by doing this. Ask yourself, what would love choose? So you get into a situation, no matter what the situation is. You ask, well, what would love choose? Or what would a loving choice be here? Basically, all of our choices are made out of what? Either love or fear. That's it. Everything reduces down to something simple. It drives me nuts when I read these books and they say the seven secrets of this and seven secrets of that. There's nothing that's a secret. It's all easy. We're either giving love or we're scared and we're asking for love. And that asking for love is fear. That asking for love is that I don't think I'm good enough. So I'm going to act out in a way that's going to help you treat me like dirt. And it's going to reinforce that I'm not a good person. I shared this quote with you once before, but as we get started with the items I want to go through, I want to share it again. It's by Bob Proctor. Faith and fear both demand you believe in something you cannot see. You choose. Let that sink in. In other words, we can't see faith, we can't see fear. But we're believing in one of the two. So since you can't see either faith or fear, which one do you want to choose? Why would you ever want to choose fear? Well, the answer is very obvious, isn't it? You don't consciously choose it. It just kind of overcomes you. But once you realize it's overcome you, say, hey, I don't have to stay with this choice of being in fear. What's the higher choice? What's the better choice? What is the loving choice? These are all questions for you. And each one of us are going to answer that question differently. Each one of us are going to ask it, answer it differently depending upon the circumstance. But realize that you have the power to change your mind all the time. So the first thing I want to talk about is, do you want to choose inner peace or fear or conflict or chaos? And I look at inner peace as if two ways. I'm in the eye of a hurricane. And in the eye of the hurricane, the place that there is total peace is right there. When we move from the center or from the eye of the hurricane, the more we move from that center, the more the hurricane is going to impact us. The hurricane being the chaos, the fear, the anger of life. You don't have to believe any of that stuff. It's your life. It's not my life. It's not your mom's life, your dad's life, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, your children. It's your life. You choose it, and you choose to live it the way you want to live it. Not the way I want you to live it or the way anybody else wants you to live it. So if I become aware of the consequences of the choice I make, I'm going to make better choices, right? All of our choices are going to frame how we perceive everything. And our perception creates our reality. It's my belief there is no such thing as reality. What there is a perception. Remember in the beginning of the show when I said I asked audiences what the most important thing they got out of that program was? And everybody has a different answer. So no, there's no one right answer. And it's the same thing here. Everything is a perception. You hear what I say. Every single one of you who's listening to this show is hearing something different because of who you are, because of where you are, because of your life, because of your circumstances, because of the problems you're dealing with now, blah, blah, blah. So there's no right way to look at it. There is no such thing as a right way. There is your way. And your way is what you perceive. And based upon what you believe is going to dictate how you're going to perceive it. So if you believe in love, if you believe that you're taken care of, if you believe you deserve abundance, joy, happiness, compassion in your life, then you're going to perceive things one way, aren't you? And that way is then, that perception is then going to create your reality. Now, how do we measure this? Our choices are going to do one of two things. Again, it's real simple. Our choices are either going to empower us or they're going to disempower us. And we know when we're feeling like the life has been sucked out of us, the air has been dragged out of the room. Check in, okay? Check in and see how you feel. Each one of us are going to have those feelings somewhere in our body. For me, it's in my solar plexus. It's in my stomach. I can feel it tighten. So we got to go, hey, wait a minute. You know, do I want to make this right? And in a few minutes, I'm going to talk again, and I know I've talked about it before, but it doesn't make any difference because I don't know very many people who get stuff and implement it into their life the first and only time they hear it. But would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? And I've had people in audiences that say they would rather be right. And I think some of them are engineers or of that mindset. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Check in to see how you feel. And the way you feel is going to tell you if your choice was a good one or if you want to choose again. Never be afraid to make a mistake. There are no such things. There's tools to learn. Hey, whoops, let's turn it just a little bit more, and let's look at it from a different perspective. I've talked before about A Course in Miracles, and A Course in Miracles is a book that was written. It was the most difficult book I've ever read in my life. It took me 2 years to read it. I'm not recommending that people read it. They do have quote cards, which are absolutely phenomenal. I've used those quotes on the show many times before. They also have 365 daily lessons. Obviously, it's a lesson a day for a year. Or if it takes you 400 days, it takes you 400 days. It doesn't matter. What I want to zero in on here this afternoon is the first two lessons. Lesson number one says this: nothing I see in this room, on this street, from this window, in this place, means anything. So for the first day, you just look around and you say, this picture, I'm sitting in my office, this picture doesn't mean anything, the house next door doesn't mean anything, the computer doesn't mean anything, the door doesn't mean anything, the clock doesn't mean anything, blah, blah, blah. Okay? And you keep saying that, all right? Real simple. The second day, it says, I have given everything I see in this room, on this street, from this window, in this place, all the meaning it has for me. You get that? In other words, the meaning it has for me isn't going to be the meaning it has for you. So you give everything the meaning you give to it. Somebody else sees the same thing and gives an entirely different meaning to it. In other words, what I'm saying is you choose the meaning everything has in your life. Everything. So think about something that upsets you. And think about the meaning that you've given to it. And think about what meaning would you have to give it in order for you to be in that state of peace. Remember, we started out by saying the first one is that inner peace. And if inner peace is important to you, and in my opinion, it should be important to all of us. I mean, I don't know why we'd want to seek to create chaos or stir the S-H-I-T pot, you know. That's just in case kids are listening. Of course, they probably spell better than we do. But anyhow, moving right on. Do you want to react or do you want to respond? Now, when we react, that's a knee-jerk reaction. And it's not something we plan, and it usually is a result of our emotions gaining control or a stranglehold on us. And we react out of the place of the ego, and remember, I said the ego, in my opinion, is that part of myself whose responsibility it is to keep my life in a constant state of chaos. That's the ego's job, and that's what reaction is about. So we get to choose whether we want reaction or if we want to respond. So when we're choosing, okay, I'd rather respond, then we have to think about it ahead of time and say, what do I want my response to be? And the best example that comes to my mind right this minute is when I first started speaking in 1991, I went out and I thought, you know, getting involved or having an affair would not allow me to be in integrity and continuity with the message that I am giving. Lo and behold, about a year or year and a half later, I went to a conference and this woman offered me her room key. Well, I'm a healthy man, and whoo-hoo. And I said, no, thank you. I'm happily married. And if there's a day that I don't become happily married, I'll give you a call. So that was my response. She wasn't insulted. And everything was fine. Because I responded, because I chose ahead of time how I was going to respond if that situation comes up. And it's always the same thing. Examples, and I think, again, these are from Stephen Covey. I may have told you this story before, but it's a story about a man that gets on a bus with an 8-year-old daughter and a 10-year-old son, and he sits down next to you, and immediately he goes, his kid's sitting right in front of him, immediately he falls asleep, and his kids start punching each other and yelling at each other, and the boy pulls the girl's hair, and then they get up, and they're running up and down the aisle of the bus and bumping into people, and finally, you can't handle this anymore. And you wake me up and you say, sir, would you please do something about your children? And I look and I say, oh, yeah, I guess I better. You see, we just came from the hospital 2 hours ago where their mother died. So you see how that shifts the way you look at it. Everything is a perception. Now you know something. And you go, oh my God, suddenly you have this huge, compassionate heart for these children. And understand that their behavior is totally acceptable given the circumstances. Or you're walking down the street and somebody bumps into you and you angrily turn and notice that the person has a white cane with a red tip. Response versus reaction. You choose. Number four is, would you rather be free or would you rather stay stuck? You get to choose whether you're going to be free or stay stuck. Always say, hey, there's another way to look at this. I don't know how many of you have ever seen W. Mitchell speak, but he's a friend of mine, and his life story goes, the way he tells it is he's had two blips in the road of life. And the first blip, he was driving his motorcycle in San Francisco, and it got sideswiped by a laundry truck. And it ignited the gas tank. He slid underneath the laundry truck and ignited the gas tank on his motorcycle. And he had third-degree burns over 70 or 80% of his body. He ended up having 15 skin graft operations. And in one of those operations, they amputated all 10 of his fingers. Then, he was living in Colorado, and he was flying a private airplane of his, and the plane wasn't properly de-iced, and it was about 150 feet, and the plane fell like a rock, and it fell right to the ground. He went to get up. He couldn't move. The other four guys got up. They were fine, but he couldn't move. He had severed his spine. He said, when he was laying in the hospital there, he thought, you know, I used to be able to do 10,000 things. Now I can only do 9,000 things. And he focused on the 1,000 things he couldn't do. Then he shifted his focus to the 9,000 things he could do. That's the difference between staying stuck and being free. You say, hey, what can I do? I read an article in the paper yesterday about Christopher Reeve's son talking about handicapped people. Anyway, the next one is being empowered or being a victim. I've urged you many times and will always continue to do this, is to vow never to give away your power. Or as soon as you realize you've given it away, take it back. Okay? You want to empower yourself. I can't empower you. I can urge you not to be a victim. I can urge you to take control of your life. I can urge you to accept responsibility for yourself and for your life, to accept the power that you can create whatever you want to create for yourself. You have to decide when you're ready to take that power and make the life that you deserve to have. So in other words, are you a creator of your life, or do you believe that you're a victim of fate? Again, it's your choice. No power in believing that fate dictates your life, is there? So the next one I have here is anger or acceptance. We can get angry about things we can't control, don't we? Or getting angry, what good does that do? Anger is a secondary form of fear. Or do we accept that things are the way they are? The serenity prayer says, God, give me the serenity to change the things I can change, the courage to accept the things that I can't change, and the wisdom to know the difference. Anger or acceptance. Next one would be, how about becoming an observer, or working on becoming an observer, rather than judging. Rather than judging yourself, rather than judging other people. It's a much more enjoyable situation to be in, isn't it? Just to look at it and say, oh, okay, that's another way to see it. Oh, look at that. That just happened. This just happened. Rather than being the judge. Tremendous burden. Because there is no right way to do anything. Nothing. There's no right way to do anything. There's your way. There's my way. Let's just learn to observe that everybody in the world is different than we are. The way they drive, the way they work out, the way they talk, the way they behave, the way they dress. It's different. It's one of my more enjoyable activities. After the show on Tuesdays, I go to Starbucks. I sit there, and most Tuesdays, and I sit and think about what next week's show is going to be about. I've got figured out the show on Christmas Eve is going to be about what love is, and the show on New Year's Eve is going to be about creating a new beginning. Now, the details haven't come yet, but I haven't figured out the show for next Tuesday. So that'll happen. If you want to meet me at Starbucks on Platt, we can do that in another hour and a half or so. Anyway, we said observer versus judge, freedom versus your self-imposed prison. How many of us have put ourselves in a prison and all we have to do is push the door open and have the freedom? Because we said we can't do this, this, that, and the other thing is happening in my life. That's your choice. Now, I give a program on balance between our professional life and our personal life. And in that, the major theme is doing what's important versus what's urgent. Many, many, many people allow what's urgent in life to run their whole life. And my recommendation is that you write down the five most important things in your life, or three, or seven, whatever number you want. And then keep track of that for a week and see how much time you spend on what's really important. Don't let the urgent stuff drive your life. You decide what's important in your life, and you allow that to be the focus of your life. Now we're down to, would you rather be right or happy? We've talked about this before, and I'd rather be happy all the time, but unfortunately, sometimes I react, primarily with Rosemary, my wife, and so I get caught into playing the game of being right. My fault, my doing, something I work on all the time. I can sit here and tell you all these things, and don't for a minute, for a nanosecond, think I got this all down. I'm working on it just like you are. That's why we're talking about it. That's why I'm quote-unquote teaching it, so that I can learn it. We're here together. We're here to take care of each other. We're here to enjoy each other. We're here to help each other. Would you rather be happy or would you rather be right? Would you rather have happiness or would you rather be sad or stuck? So that's the list of things that I wanted to say in terms of comparison. Now I'd like to turn to, I got about 20 minutes. I think I can do it. I think I can. Some of the choices that will make your life much more rewarding and fulfilling. Obviously, number one choice is always choose to be loving, okay? No matter what, choose to be loving. That requires a conscious effort, doesn't it? Because that's not the world we live in, is it? We don't live in a world that's filled with love. But remember, there is no such thing as the world. There is only your world. And you can start the engine every single time. And the engine is being loving. Everything else but choosing to be loving is like holding your breath. It's not going to work real well, is it? So if I say number one, choose to be loving, then number two, we've done at least five programs on this, always choose to forgive. Every place in the world is aware that Nelson Mandela finally got out of his body last week. And what did he say after 27 years in prison? He said, I forgive those who imprison me. He chose forgiveness because he knew if he chose hatred, he'd never be free, would he? Even though he got out of the prison, he would still be in his prison if he chose hatred instead of forgiveness. So if he can do that, given what went on with him, we can forgive. We can always choose to forgive. So love yourself enough to release the emotional attachment to the event. That's our definition of forgiveness on this show. And forgiveness also releases you from the burden of being the judge, the jury, and the executioner. That's a tremendous burden. That's why we talked about becoming an observer. Observe what's going on. Don't judge it. Don't be the jury. Don't be the executioner. That's an enormous heavyweight. Furthermore, you can't carry it out anyhow. Choose to be open-minded. There's a quote, and basically it goes something like this. The mind is like a parachute. It works best when it is open. So the challenge here is to be able to see both sides of every situation. And there's certain people you get into arguments about. There's somebody at the gym that's like that, and he has a certain point of view. And, you know, I just learned to listen to it. That's the way he looks at it. I don't need to argue with him. I don't need to be right about it. But it's interesting to see. He has validity in his point of view, in the way he sees it. All the time we can say, hey, this is another way to look at it. Simply like that. Doesn't mean you have to embrace that way. Or, hey, I never thought of it that way. Look at everything like you're on the debate team and you're preparing your program. And they say, your teacher says, okay, Sue, you have to debate against this, and Jack, you have to debate for it. And then the next time it may be that you're the opposite. So learn how to look at both sides of every situation. Kids are great, particularly at this time of year. They're really curious about everything in life. So why not be curious? What's the big deal about having been growing up? I don't find anything all that exciting about it. Imagine how the world would change if we related to each other the way we relate to babies. I don't know about you, but I'll go up to a baby anywhere, and I'll just start talking to the baby and tell the parent how beautiful the baby is and look at the baby smile and the baby reacts. I've never had one parent ever say, please don't talk to us. So just go and be curious. See how things work. Experiment with observing everything. When we observe everything, it's amazing how much more we're going to see. Just watch. Just see. And it relieves you of the burden of judging it and having to go around and say, boy, look at the way he's dressed. Look at the way he's talking. Look at the way this. Look at the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And that incessant mind chatter creates a prison and creates chaos for us, doesn't it? The next thing is that I want to, this is something that's been relatively recent for me. In other words, it's, I'd say, maybe the last 2 years or so, and that's cultivating compassion. Every one of us has made mistakes. So we've done things we regret. We've said things that we wish we could take back. How many of you have said something and then as it's coming out of your mouth, you go, oh, please, let me reach my arm out and pull it back. We've all had our hearts broken, haven't we? All of us. I'm saying 100% of us. 100% of us have problems, don't we? And every one of us is carrying burdens with us that other people aren't aware of, aren't we? So let's cultivate compassion for each other. Let's cut each other some slack. Let's accept that each one of us is handicapped. Each one of us has a burden that we're carrying around with us. Let's be there to help carry that person's burden, to just be that person of compassion, that person of understanding, that person of love, that person that's just there. I think I may have told you the best gift I ever got was at my mom's funeral when I was walking past the casket and said in my heart, "Mom, I'll see you soon. Take care." And I walked out of the room and I just lost it. And I had my hands in my face and I was crying and sobbing. And somebody just held me. Didn't say a word. And when I finally stopped crying and opened my eyes, it was Rosemary. Best gift she ever gave me. And I can't imagine how hard it was for her to give it, because our youngest son, Matt, as soon as I started crying, he started crying. So you could see how the tie is with us. So here's this poor woman holding her husband, and her baby is crying too, knowing she can't be in two places at one time. So there's the compassion, and we need to have compassion for ourselves and for everybody in our life. Hey, have fun with everybody everywhere you go. I've talked about this many times, and I had a note further on, but I can bring it up here. And what I do at this time of the year, and it is so much fun, and I invite all of you to play this game with me. When you see a child who's with their parent, last Saturday, I think I tell you that, I go to Corner Bakery for lunch every Saturday in Calabasas. And I'm sitting there with Bill and Char, and this mom and her daughter, I'd say probably about 9 years old, they're sitting there, and the little girl's just behaving, not, you know, blah. And I could see they were getting ready to go, and I went over there, and I said to the little girl, I said, I'm one of Santa's helpers, and as soon as I get home, I'm going to email Santa, and I'm going to tell him how good you've been. And her face just lit up. And I do that with every child I see in the entire month of December. Well, not the entire month, until Christmas. Do that. You'd be amazed, number one, at how it touches people. And number two, how it makes people feel good. And that's what we're here to do. Society and life has invested and has given enough pain to all of us. So we need to be able to be compassionate, be tolerant, be accepting, and spread love as the antidote to pain, to fear, to anger. That's the antidote. You don't have to buy into that energy. You know what? I'm going to do something right here for a second. There's a bunch of people in the chat room, and I don't know what's going on. But, you know, being a man, I can't do two things at one time. See, a lot of you people can do that. But, you know, I don't know. Even if men can, I can't do that. So there we go. See what's going on. Okay, right back to where we are. Let me say one more thing. Oh, one person just sends a heart back. Okay, back to where I was, wherever I was. Oh, you know, again, have fun with people everywhere you go. I don't know how many of you know who Willie Jolly is, and he's a friend of mine, and he was instrumental in turning Ford around. But Willie's son, William, came out, and I've known William. He would love to do for me to do a seminar for men. We can do that, Lapis. Tell me more. Men are we're not as bad as, you know, we got emotions. Okay, we got to be able to feel and express just the way others do. Matter of fact, in what I do, I find that women aren't a whole lot better getting into their heart than men are. So we just have to learn to be who we are. And what I've said before is Terry Cole Whitaker's book, What You Think of Me Is None of My Business. Okay, so moving back, you can comment more about that, Lapis. Play with people, okay? Just have fun everywhere you go. Anyway, Willie's son William came out here last summer, and we spent time together. And he just sent me an email this morning, and I emailed him back. And the email was basically, when the non-guilty verdict came back from the Trevor Martin case in Florida, and people start talking about it being, they talk about it being from race. You know what, race? Really? And I said, if it's race, then how do I help? Because I'm white. And I wrote to Willie. And Willie, I forgot what Willie wrote back, but at the bottom of Willie's signature on his email is this picture. And I looked at that and I said, holy man, Willie's black. Now I've known Willie for 20 years. And I looked and I said, Willie's black. And I couldn't believe that I didn't know that Willie was black. And I left my office here and I went and I took a shower, and just in total consternation, I'm going, how could I not see Willie was black? And what I heard come to me was, that's because you see with your heart, not with your eyes. So I encourage every single one of you to do that. See with your heart. Lapis is saying here, love from the heart. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about seeing from your heart. And I don't care how anybody else sees it. I'm going to see it the way I want to see it. And I'm going to see it the way I want to see it, because what you think of me is none of my business. So if I'm sitting here today, and I know that today is the last day of my life, December 10th, 2014, and this is the last day of my life, I'm going to say, hey, as Sammy Davis Jr. saying, I did it my way. I came here to be who I am, and that's who I am. How am I doing on time? Well, I can go over. It's my show, and you can listen as long as you want. Laugh, okay? It doesn't matter what people think of you. I was in a restaurant a number of years ago, and I was laughing, and somebody turns around and he says, are you Jim Brown? And I said, yeah. He says, hey, my name's Tom Brewster. We worked together 10 years ago. And I'll never forget that laugh. So that's amazing. Laugh, okay? Enjoy it. Don't worry about what people think of you. Just have a good time. Go out there and laugh. They're going to think whatever they want to think of you, no matter what you say or what you do. They're going to think the same thing. So be you. Be true to yourself. Love yourself. Play. Have fun. It's a game. It's called the game of life. Just play the game. Play the game to have fun. Play the game to love. Play the game to be the best you can be. Play the game to take hold of your power. And your power comes from love. And the love comes from being who you are and knowing that you deserve everything that life has to offer. You deserve abundance. You deserve love. You deserve joy. You deserve happiness. All you got to do is believe it and let it come in. So he talked about playing with people, help lighten their load, even if it's just for a minute. You don't know what's going on in their life. Smile at them, talk to them, say hi. Say, hey, that your hair looks great today. Your coat looks great. I love the way you're dressed. You know, I love, another one I love is a woman, and she'll have boots on. I saw one the other day. She'll have pink boots on and a pink top. And I go, do you have a pair of boots for every top? Some people say yes. So play with it. Play with people. People are, as a rule, they're introverted. They're not going to reach out, but they're not going to stop you when you reach out. And that once in a million times they do, you feel it in your stomach and you just move on. Listen to people as if they're giving you are giving them a gift of love. Okay? Too many people listen like, oh yeah, that happened to me, or that happened to, you know, and they're not listening. Listen to them. And this is a gift that you're giving to them. And what do? We listen with our heart. We listen with our ears. We listen with compassion. We listen with acceptance. We don't judge them. We don't condemn them. And we're not there to give them advice. Unsolicited advice is called meddling. Listen to people. And when you listen to them, give them the gift of love. Don't listen thinking, this reminds me of this or that, or compete with them. That's all nonsense. Choose to always find another way to look at something that takes you out of that inner state of peace. Okay? Just, that's your choice. You get to do that. I did a whole program on this. Choose to stop worrying. Worrying, I call paying interest on a loan you never got. I also refer to it as praying for something you don't want. So let's talk about worry for just a minute. I'm going to see how many more I got to go here. I'm going to run over. You guys okay? Over the hour? I set the show for, I figure I'm doing an hour, but it's going to be, you know, I set it for an hour and a half, so I have that flexibility. Trust God. Okay? Trust God. If you're going to believe in God, then trust Him. And to me, the most powerful prayer there is to let go and to let God. Now, we've talked about the fact that we've come here to come to school. So, therefore, if you're here to go to school, become a student of life. When you do this, everything you see is an opportunity to learn something. So you don't condemn, you don't judge, you just say, hey, what did I create this event for this person for, bring this person into my life? What did I create them to teach me? Why did I create this experience as a lesson to learn? Next item is to choose to be flexible. We've talked about there's no way and way to look at anything, is there? Ever. One of the last things I put in my last book, which is called Spiritual Breadcrumbs from the Universe, is what if everything you believe is wrong? What do we do then? Well, we got to not be attached to our beliefs. We can't say that my belief, my point of view, is who I am. This is the way I look at it today. Look back at who you were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. Some of you can't. Okay, work with me here. Don't be attached to your beliefs. Your beliefs are not your identity. They're what you're using as your guidepost now. You're always looking for something higher and better, another choice, a better choice, because you're becoming more and more aware. And as you become aware, you expand out, don't you? Choose to be loyal. There's nothing more I need to say about that. Choose loyalty in part of your life. Choose to love yourself enough to heal all of your past wounds. And if you choose to do that, you're going to choose to let go. It's going to be like letting go of a lot of rancid garbage, isn't it? Let it go. You can create miracles. And you're going to have to let that stuff go. And you need to be there. Whoopee. I got somebody on the line here, and I didn't... Oh, no, they didn't say... Whoever's on 808, if you want to talk, press 1. If not, I'll leave you hold there. Choose to heal your past. And then the next one I have, we've talked about that. Choose to make a positive difference in everybody's life you touch. We make a difference in everybody's life, okay? But we have to choose to make it a positive difference. No, I don't know. I thought they chose one. Okay. Hold on a second. Let me see what they have here. There's a question mark here. Hello, area code 808.
Aloha, how are you?
Wonderful, how are you? Who's this?
My name is Leilani.
Oh, 808 is in Hawaii, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh.
Well, I was listening to what you were saying, and it was resonating really hard with me because I was wanting to be able to perpetuate that onto my kids and explaining to them, like, when people treat you badly, this is why you got to go forth in righteousness and in love, because you got to have that consciousness to be a better person. And what is demonstrating that where it's not showed. It's reinventing that systematical belief system and kind of subtracting what really people don't like about it and putting it what really needs to be there, and that's love and light and a higher vibration of healing yourself and healing other people, and really explaining that to your children so they can carry it on, because once you plant that seed in their mind, you really are surprised how much more they can actually attune to it than you actually are. Like with my children, like I have 4 children, I have a 2-year-old, and I have an 11-year-old. And my 5-year-old and my 11-year-old are really kind of like, I would say, really connected with the Lord. And being connected to, you know, like a higher consciousness, because they really factor in a lot of their like little critical thinking minds. Like when my daughter was asked for Thanksgiving, because she goes to a public school, when she was asked what she was thankful for, and she was like, "I'm thankful for God and the life God gave us." And I was like so proud. Like she wrote that, and I was like, "My kindergarten person."
Oh, hallelujah.
Out of everything to be thankful for, not her toy, not her new Barbie, she was thankful for God and realizing the connection that God gives us this life and God sustains us, because I have to walk on faith alone, because I had been, I guess in the walk of life, some people are not as high up on the mountain as other people. And, so
and that doesn't
like,
matter. It's kind of like you're talking about your 2 children.
Yeah, it takes...
One's
right.
in seventh
yeah,
grade,
have,
one's in second grade. Neither grade's any better.
No, I have 4 of them. But I mean, the ones that are really connected, that show and demonstrate and say unusual things that like catch me off guard, where I know it's sinking in, are with those 2, because I have a 2-year-old, and I have a 5-year-old, an 8-year-old, and 11-year-old. So.
Can I tell you the gifts that the 2-year-old gives you? The 2-year-old is a boy or a girl?
It's a boy.
He loves you unconditionally. He forgives and he
forgets.
There he is. He forgives and he forgets. He has no concept of failure, and everything he does is an adventure. So now, what would your life be like if you loved unconditionally, if you could forgive and forget, if you had no concept of failure, and no matter what you're doing, it's an adventure? So
I
we have
my life would be perfect then, right?
Yeah, wouldn't it? So then we wonder who's here to teach what to whom. I think he's here to teach us, right? He's got it all. What else would you want?
Yeah, exactly.
So can I put you back on hold and finish up here?
Yeah, definitely. No, I just wanted to say thank you, too, by the way.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for calling.
For the message. And I was like, yeah, that's something I need to be reminded of. And that's another reason why I like listening to other people talk. Because, you know, when you got the light and the fire and the spirit in you, it really shines. Even if you can't see it, or you just hear the vibration of somebody's voice and the words they're using and the thought process that they're thinking, you can feel it.
Well, it was like that quote I had before, fear and faith are both demand you believe in something you cannot see. So which one do you want to choose?
I choose faith all the time. But
that a girl. Okay, aloha.
Aloha.
Okay, so we were moving right along here. choosing to make a positive difference in everybody's life we touch. Okay, we touch everybody's life. We make a difference in everybody's life. Alana was talking about people treating her children badly. Well, the answer to that simply is if you treat them with love, no matter how they treat you, they're saying, hey, I'm not deserving of being loved. And you're saying, yes, you are. I'm not gonna allow that to impact me. Miguel Ruiz wrote a book called The Four Agreements, and the second agreement is don't take anything personally. And that's all it is. We've talked before that we either do things out of love or we ask for love, and other kids are asking for love. So I have two more things, and then we're going to bring it to a close. Choose to love yourself with all your warts, ladies, all your cellulite, wrinkles, and all that. Just love yourself the way you are. We hear what an amazing mother Ilana is because she's taught her children about love. Has she made mistakes? I'll bet she has, because we all have. Not important. Choose love. Choose to love yourself first and foremost, and then reach out to your Creator, then reach out to everybody else in your life. But love yourself and forgive yourself. And the last item I have here is choose to be aware and conscious of everything you say and do. That's the program we're on here. The program of becoming more aware and more conscious. Remember, this is a process. It's not an event. So don't expect awareness and consciousness to be there. Oh, I listened to Jim's show. That's really good. So now I'm aware. Now I'm conscious. Nonsense. I've been doing this for over 20 years, and I still get sucked into reacting much more than I want. So bringing this to a close, simply recall that you have an infinite number of choices. Never limit yourself. Remember, you're always constantly changing. So a choice that you made 3, 4, 5 years ago that may have worked for you may not work anymore. Remember when we were growing up, clothes we wore when we were 12 don't fit us when we're 15. So you're becoming a different person. Remember, you came to the school of life. And as you are in this school, you're constantly evolving. There's no part of life that doesn't have lessons. So you're constantly making choices, and you constantly change the choices you're making to make a higher and better choice for yourself and those who are around you. So don't hold on to the past. It's gone forever, okay? The ability to choose is a gift from your Creator that you can choose to use as often as you want. Or you can choose never to use this gift of choices. Remember, though, choosing not to choose is still a choice. So I ask you this. What kind of life do you want to create for yourself? It's your choice. So I went online and I looked up quotes about choosing, and I wanted to share 3 or 4 of them before the closing story, which is also on choices. Choosing to live your life by your own choice is the greatest freedom you will ever have. Next quote. It is only when you exercise your right to choose that you can also exercise your right to change. It's your programming that has created the choices in your past. It is the choices you make today that are creating the programs for your future. If you were given only one choice, to choose or not to choose, which would you choose? The closing story is called You Have Two Choices. Jerry is the manager of a restaurant. He's always in a good mood. When someone would ask him how he was doing, he would simply reply, "If I were any better, I'd be twins." Many of the waiters at his restaurant quit their jobs when he changed jobs so they could follow him around from restaurant to restaurant because Jerry was a natural motivator. If an employee was having a bad day, Jerry would always be there telling the employee how to look on the positive side of the situation. Seeing this style really made me curious, so one day I went up to Jerry and I asked him, I don't get it. No one can be a positive person all the time. How do you do it? Jerry replied, every morning when I wake up, I say to myself, I have two choices today. I can choose to be in a good mood or I can choose to be in a bad mood. I always choose to be in a good mood. Each time something bad happens, I can choose to be a victim or I can choose to learn from it. Let me repeat that sentence. Each time something bad happens, I can choose to be a victim or I can choose to learn from it. I always choose to learn from it. Every time someone comes to me complaining, I can choose to accept their complaining or I can point out the positive side of life. I always choose the positive side of life. But it's not always that easy, I protested. Yes, it is, Jerry said. Life is always about choices. When you cut away all the junk, every situation is a choice. You choose how you react to the situations. You choose how people will affect your mood. You choose to be good in a good mood or a bad mood. It's all your choice, how you live your life. Several years later, I heard that Jerry accidentally did something you're never supposed to do in a restaurant business. He left the back door of his restaurant open. Then in the morning, he was robbed by three armed men. When Jerry was trying to open the safe, his hand was shaking from nervousness, and he slipped off the combination. It caused the robbers to panic, and they shot him. Luckily, Jerry was found quickly and rushed to the hospital. After 18 hours of surgery and weeks of intensive care, Jerry was released from the hospital with fragments of bullets still in his body. I saw Jerry about 6 months after the accident. When I asked him how he was, he replied, if I were any better, I'd be twins. Want to see my scars? I declined to see his wounds, but did ask him what had gone through his mind as the robbery took place. The first thing that went through my mind was that I should have locked the back door, Jerry replied. Then after they shot me, as I lay there on the floor, I remembered that I had two choices. I could choose to live, or I could choose to die. I chose to live. Weren't you scared? I asked Jerry. Jerry continued, the paramedics were great. They kept telling me I was going to be fine, but when they wheeled me into the emergency room and I saw the expression on the faces of the doctors and nurses, I really got scared. In their eyes, I read, he's a dead man. I knew I needed to take action. What did you do? I asked. Well, there was a big nurse shouting questions at me, said Jerry. She asked if I was allergic to anything. Yes, I replied. The doctors and nurses stopped working as they waited for my reply. I took a deep breath and yelled, bullets! Once their laughter stopped, I told them, I am choosing to live. Please operate on me as if I am alive, not dead. Jerry lived, thanks to the skill of his doctors, but also because of his amazing attitude. I learned from him that every day you have the choice to either enjoy your life or to hate it. So in closing, I ask you, as always, what was the most important thing you got out of today's show? Join me next Tuesday at 2 o'clock. Topic is yet to be decided. It will be decided in another hour or two at Starbucks. Remember to love yourself. I send love from my heart to your heart. Please receive my love and then share it with everybody in your world. There is an infinite supply of love. I love you, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.